I trust you have your Bible. If you'd turn with me to the book of John, chapter number 10. The book of John, chapter number 10. This morning, I was in this same chapter dealing with somewhat the same thing I am tonight. And God had laid upon my heart to deal with some pictures of the Lord in the Word of God. And Tuesday, I dealt with him being the true vine, and today, the shepherd. And it dawned upon me, just as I'm about to open my mouth to talk about that, I'm dealing that with tonight, too. And I thought, coincidental, but not really. God does that so often in my life. I've heard Sunday school teachers come in and tell me after a service that, man, that's what I said during Sunday school time. And I always think, well, praise the Lord. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let a thing be established. And it's good. It's all right. John chapter number 10. I told you in the month of February, I'd like to deal with, use the label shepherding. And we know from the 23rd Psalm, the Bible says the Lord is what? My shepherd. We find in John chapter number 10, the Lord Jesus Christ referring to himself as a shepherd. Those who are in positions of leadership are really in positions of shepherding. And by the way, in almost any position with an individual, you are better being a shepherd than a cattle driver. You'll get a lot farther if you lead than taking a cattle prod. Those whom you're dealing with will love you more. One of the things I've found in the corporate world today is oftentimes they get out a cattle prod and try to get their folks to move in that direction when they ought to just be leading them and finding out, hey, you know, people respond to that. Chapter number 10, notice what it says, verse number 1, and I'm going to read, down about verse 14, I think. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door under the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he put forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth a wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the privilege to have in our hands the Word of God. How precious, how marvelous, how wonderful that we can have such truth. Lord, let us never take it for granted, but always be in that position where we revere, we revel in it. Oh God, I pray that tonight as we come to these precious words, that you would just work in our hearts, and that that which you have for us might well upon our soul and take us forth in the days and weeks ahead. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In the first few verses, we find a beautiful, beautiful story as the Lord is showing us some great truth about sheep and the shepherd. There were certain periods during the year whereby the shepherds would all be together. And at nighttime, they would bring their sheep into the sheepfold. And it could be a fence made out of a number of different things, many times rocks and sometimes sticks that were just piled up. But it was a fence of some sort. And often then, that fence, there was a fellow that was hired to be there through the night, and they called him the porter. And when morning light came, the shepherds would come. And one by one, the shepherds would call for their sheep. And though they were all mingled together, the sheep knew their shepherd's voice. And they would lead them out. And though there'd be four, five, or six of them, they would know the voice of their shepherd. And they would then part and go their separate ways throughout the day. And so we find here that it's talking about that particular thing of how those sheep know the voice of the shepherd. And then he says to them in verse number 5, a stranger will they not follow. They'll not follow after him because they do not know his voice. And we find that be so true when we come to the spiritual realm. And we find even in churches that there is that voice. We find in the home that voice. And if we don't recognize that voice, there's something that seems to be missing. A child, when they come in, perhaps the first thing they ever say when they walk in the door is, Mom. And all they want to hear is the voice of Mom. Okay? They might be hoping for something that she might give them. I don't know. But it's a comforting thing for them. Well, then we find in verse number 6, they didn't understand this. It didn't make sense to them. And there's a reason for it. It's because they were the sheep he was... these are the ones that were not really true sheep. I mean, in the sense that here a shepherd speaking, and they don't hear him. And it's really that which is... saying to them, hey, you are people who are not really of God as you claim you are. And then in verse number 7, he goes a little bit farther. Instead of saying, hey, that porter who sits there, that porter is also myself. It's interesting when you look at the Word of God, you go back into the Old Testament, you begin to look at the tabernacle especially, and in every piece you see Christ. And you just see him over and over and over again. And that's what we're seeing here in this. Not only is he the shepherd that comes and he calls them, they know his voice, but he's also the one who sits at that door and is the door, and he is through him they can go in and out. Not only does that allow them to go and to find pasture, but it also protects them from the thief and that which seeks to destroy them. And so we find just a beautiful story here. We look here and he's trying to help them understand some things. Notice verse 8, 9, and 10. He's trying to help them understand that the shepherd has a great goal for them. And notice that goal. I look at verse 10 particularly. It says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have what, brethren? Life. And that they might have it what? More abundantly. Okay? And so our shepherd, he's the good shepherd because not only does he want us to have life, but he wants us to have the abundant life. And his life then is all about them. He says, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd does what in verse 11? Giveth his life for the sheep. We'll come back to that in a little while. But I want you to notice, first of all, as we go to verse 12 and 13, the hireling. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth a wolf coming, and leaveth his sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he's a hireling and careth not for the sheep. Next week, we're going to look at the Apostle Paul once again. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians as we do so. And we're going to find that the Apostle Paul really loved the people he dealt with. And he did not do what he did for hire. But here we find the Lord Jesus Christ talking about those who are doing it for the money. It's interesting. I saw a little article today. I see one quite often, something of this nature. And basically it was talking about the 10 biggest wolves of the churches today. And talking about those who all it is about, it seems to be money. Pastors who are making into the millions of dollars. It's not about the people, it's about their own thing. The goal is their hire. Oftentimes, it's not just money, it's the prestige or the power among men. And because there is a certain thing involved with that. But for the real shepherd, the one who just, he's a Sunday school teacher, he's the pastor of a church, he's the father of his family, it's not about the power. It's the fact that he wants to see the best for the sheep that he has there. But the hireling, that's not his goal. That's not what he's after. Position or a title becomes very important. From time to time, I get letters from other churches that I always get, how can I say this politely? I just get tickled. I get a letter from a church, and I don't know that they're running 40, 45, and that's fine. Praise the Lord, you know. And there'll be a list. There'll be the pastor's name. There'll be the assistant pastor, and then there'll be the associate through the assistant, and then they got two or three other title things that are there. I don't know where they get all the titles. And I get tickled because I'm looking at that and I'm wondering, are we serving God because we want to, or we want some kind of a title? I know we're not supposed to check people's motives for things, but it does run through my mind. It's there. We find that it's not about how much you get paid. It's not how much you gain from it. Now, I believe that ministers ought to be maintained, but that's not his goal. A church ought to take care of its pastor. The Bible says, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. It tells us in book of 1 Thessalonians, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy his reward. Peter, when he wrote to his epistle, he says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. And then he says, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. And there ought to be that maintenance, and ought to be that taken care of, but that is not and should not be the goal of those who are in those kinds of positions, whatever it is. The prophets spoke of those kinds. Matter of fact, they dealt with it a great deal in their day. They spoke of what it was even coming in the near future. I think of Isaiah. He says, his watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant. They're all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yeah, they're greedy dogs which can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone, for his gain from his quarter. And that seems to be what it was all about for some of those. And so Isaiah, under inspiration, writes of those. We find Jeremiah, Ezekiel writing of some of those. We find in the book of Philippians in the New Testament says, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. The Apostle Paul at this particular point was having trouble finding people who would go with him just because they really felt that need. We find that the hireling then, his goal is his hire. But also, I think there's something else, and that is the sheep are not his life. It's not all about the sheep for him. He's not a watchman. In the book of Acts, chapter 20, he says, "Therefore watch, remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day in tears." He's not concerned enough to watch for their benefit. He's not like a father unto them. In 1 Corinthians, when Paul writes to them, "Ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet ye have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel." This one who's the hireling, he's not anxious for their soul. It's not something he weeps over. It's something he's concerned about. Book of Romans, Paul wrote, he says, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." And always upon his heart. And so we find that this be another truth about those who are hirelings. He's one who flees from the wolves when they come. You know, every church, every family, every whatever it is, there's going to be conflicts. Isn't that true? There's going to be problems. There's going to be things that come. An hireling takes off. But there are those who stay. He sees the wolf and he's gone. How can you tell a hireling? He's the guy running when the wolf comes. It's really quite simple. Wolves come, but shepherds stand and stay. I think of David, the shepherd boy. And before he went to slay Goliath, we find that he had, what, slain a bear and a lion with a slingshot. He didn't run. He stayed there. What was the idea? He was going to protect those sheep no matter what. And he was laying down his life for them. He was giving himself to them. And that's really what it's all about. I deal with this tonight because you and I, when we're really concerned about people, we're like that shepherd. And it's a matter that it's not what we get out of it, it's what we can put into it. And so we come to that idea of a shepherd. And the primary application of that shepherd, as we look here in our scripture, is the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that it also can speak of a pastor or a teacher or a leader of any group, large or small, within a church. And certainly we have this opportunity to lead and work in other lives. But as we see him fleeing from the wolves, what do we see that's true about the shepherd? He gives his life for the sheep. It's a lifelong commitment to him. It doesn't matter if it's a Sunday school class or a church of 1,000 people. It's a matter, hey, these are folks that God has put before him and people whom he's given his life for. They mean something to him. He's excited about the prospect. The Bible talks about the Lord Jesus Christ as he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he leaves the disciples and takes the three inner circle, Peter, James, and John, goes a little bit farther and tells them to watch and to pray. And then the Bible says he went a little farther and prayed. And it's interesting that God had given that prayer to the disciples that they might be able to write it down later. But we find that what's interesting to me is he went a little farther. He went a little farther in so many ways, but I think especially in the fact that he was willing to lay down his very life, to give of his life for those sheep. By the way, sheep that were turning against him, sheep that were rebelling upon him. But what is he? He's one who gives his life for the sheep. I talked about this morning, we've already just a little bit, but something that is very tremendous to me is that he knows his sheep. There's an intimate understanding. There's a delight in them. It's not a disdain or a use of them for his own exaltation. He knows them. He loves them for who they are. Do we understand tonight that we as sheep do not have very many good qualities? Do we understand that when God calls a sheep that's really not a compliment? Do you understand that as sheep we can't defend ourselves? We have not the ability. Do we understand as sheep that we're really quite smelly? We need cleaned up. Do we understand that the only way we're ever going to survive is that we have a shepherd and we follow him? And thank God for a shepherd who knows us and knows our needs. It's tremendous in my own mind. When I study Psalm 23, and to read it and go back through that ever so often, I remember the very first time L. Wells came and preached on that psalm and brought forth some great truth. And I'm reminded of those truths, and it's through the years God gives you a little bit more here and a little bit more there. And how he's the shepherd, but everything that's spoken of in the rest of that psalm is something he is doing for the sheep. He maketh me lie down in the still waters, or in the green pastures, excuse me. He's the one who does these kinds of things. Why? He knows us. What's he know? He knows that we need rest. He knows that. He knows that we're scared of moving waters, so he makes sure that we got the still waters. He knows we have diseases that take us very easily, and thus he's the one who anoints the head with oil, the medicines to help us. He understands those things. He knows his sheep. I mentioned our kids this morning. I am horrible with names. There are days I'm trying to think of terms and they don't come. Any of you folks have that problem? It's not old age, folks. I've had this since I was six. It's been around a long time. And they just don't come. And sometimes there'll be folks that I've met and they've told me their name and I think, yeah, I've got that. And I mean, 2 minutes later, it's gone. Now some folks, they remember names. I stand amazed at that. Any of you folks like that? I mean, you meet somebody, you remember their name, it's there. You're that way, Jenny? Yeah, well, I'm just the opposite. Okay? I haven't told this for a while, but I think I had to ask Joe her name 3 times before I got it. I'm not kidding. Who did? Nick, you have this worse than me. Okay. You are my dilemma. Okay, very good. I've had all these thoughts go through my mind, Nick and Penny, and their growing up years. Anyway, it's amazing to me, but God knows our name. I used to look at First Chronicles, and all the names are there for the first 9 chapters. And I can't pronounce them. I kind of skim through them. Forgive me of that. But I look at that, and sometimes just somewhere along the line, I just stop at a name. And I think, God knows all of those people. Never misses it. He knows our name. He knows everything about us. He knows what we need before we need it. Have you ever had a prayer request on the way before you prayed for it? Probably that's true in most cases if we really understood the background. Our God knows us. He's the shepherd. But what I also find fascinating, and I'm going to go back to this, and that is the sheep know his voice. You know, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God comes into your life. He helps you to not only hear the voice of God, but to begin to understand it. There are those in verse number 6 that did not understand the things he was saying to them. But the real sheep, they know his voice. Go down with me to verse number 27. Notice what it says. My sheep, what? Hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. We've looked tonight at the hireling. We've looked at the shepherd. We're talking about shepherding for this month. What is important for us to gain here? In our relationships, especially in church with fellow Christians, are we like shepherds or hirelings? Is it what we can get out of it? Or is it because we care deeply about the other? It's amazing what we can accomplish in lives when they know we care. When they realize that. Years ago, I had a preacher come and preach. Very good preacher. I went home that night and we were sitting around, and I don't know which boy, maybe a couple of them, they basically said, "Dad, we don't like him." I thought immediately, oh, you're under conviction about something, huh? He got to you? No. They didn't think he cared about him. I looked back at how he behaved in the pulpit and what he said, and I figured out all they'd heard was negative. And nothing that said, hey, here's a direction to go. Hey, I care about you. What he said was absolutely true. It was biblical. It was well presented. But they didn't sense that he cared. And by the way, every one of us in this room are that way. And if we don't think the person in this pulpit or front of the Sunday school class, whatever it is, even as we walk in the lobby, if we don't think they care, it does not resonate well with us. And what I hate is those times when that's the way I come across. God deliver us, help us, amen? Because we're here for a purpose. It's not to exalt ourselves. It's to, what, love other people, care for them.